भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're reading in the prayers of the personified Vedas. We're on text 27. Quite a bit to read. You all can help with all the Sanskrit and verses along the way, please. Okay. I'll do the transliteration. Tava, you, Paraye Charanti, who worship Akila, of all. Sattva, created entities, Niketaya, as a shelter, te, they, Uta, simply, pada, with their feet, Akramanti, step upon, Abhiganayaya, disregarding, Shiraha, the head, Niretehe, of death, Parivayase, you tie up, Pashuniva, like animals, Gira, with your words of the Vedas, Vibhudhan, wise, api, even, tan, them, twai, to whom, krita, those who have made, shoridha, friendship, kaulu, indeed, punanti, purified, na, not, yehu, vimukhaha, inimical. Anyone have a tune for this? You have a tune for this? Yeah, go ahead. Tava pariye charayanti akila sattva niketataya. Ta uta pada kramantya abhiganaya shiro nirite. Parivayase pashu iva gira vibhunam hitam. Twai krita saurida kalu punanantinaye vimukaha. Somebody else? Tadapariye charantyakila sattvanikitataya. Ta uta pada pramanti abhiganaya shiro nirite. Parivayase pashin iva gira vibhuham apitam. Twai krita sauridak kalau pananti naye vimukaha. Questions? Translation purport. The devotees who worship you as a shelter of all beings disregard death and place their feet on his head. With the words of the Vedas, you bind the non-devotees like animals, though they be vastly learned scholars. It is your affectionate devotees who can purify themselves and others, not those who are inimical to you. Purport. The personified Vedas have now set aside the erroneous philosophies of several contending schools. The Asad Uttapati Vada of the Vaisheshikas, who presume a material source of creation, the Sad Vinasha Vada of the Nayayikas, who would deprive the liberated soul of consciousness, the Sagunatva Veda Vada of the Shankyas, who isolate the soul from all his apparent qualities, the Vipana Vada of the Mimakshas, who condemn the soul to eternal involvement in the mundane commerce of karma, and the Vivarta Vada of the Mayavadis, who denigrate the soul's real life in this world as a hallucination. Having rejected all these ideas, the personified Vedas now present the philosophy of devotional service, Pricharya Vada. The Vaishnavas who accept this philosophy teach that the jiva soul is an atomic particle of spiritual personality who possesses minute knowledge, is not independent, and has no material qualities. Being minute, he is prone to come under the control of the material energy, where he suffers the pains of material life. He can end his suffering and regain the shelter of the Supreme Lord's divine internal energy only by rendering devotional service to the Lord, not by engaging in fruitive work, mental speculation, or any other process. As Lord Krishna says in his own words, Bhaktyaham ekaya graya shadayatma priyatsatam bhakti punati nishta swapaka apisam bhavat. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Bhagavatam 11:14-21. Devotees of the Personality of Godhead worship him as a shelter, Niketa, of everything that exists, Akila Sattva. Moreover, these Vaishnav devotees themselves can be called Akila Sattva Niketa in the sense that their abode and shelter is the philosophic truth of the reality, Satvam, of both the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, Sripad Madhvacharya in his Vedanta Sutra Bhashya quotes the Shruti mantra, Satvam hi evedam vishvam ashrujata. He created this world as real. And the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7.11 refers to the Supreme Lord as a Padhana Pumbhayam Naradeva Satyakrit, the creator of a real universe of matter and living entities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out yet another more confidential meaning of the Akila Sattva Niketa, that the Supreme Lord's personal abodes are in no way kila or imperfect, and so are called Vaikuntha, the realms free of anxiety and restriction. Vaishnavas whose devotional service the Lord has kindly accepted are so sure of his protection that they no longer fear death, which becomes for them just another easy step on the way back to their eternal home. But are only devotees of the Supreme Lord eligible for liberation from the fear of death? Why are all the other mystics and learned scholars disqualified? Hear the Shruti's answer. Anyone who is vimukha, who has not turned his face toward the Lord with hopeful expectation of his mercy, is bound up in illusion by the same words of the Vedas that enlighten the surrendered devotees. The Vedas themselves warn, tasya vaktantir namani damani, tasya dam vacha tancha namabir namabi sarvam sitam. The threads of this transcendental sound form a string of sacred names, but also a set of binding ropes. With the rope of their injunctions, the Vedas tie up this entire world, leaving all beings fettered by false designations. The reality of the soul and supersoul is a paroksha, perceivable not only to one with transcendental vision. Philosophers whose hearts are impure mistakenly presume that the truth is instead paroksha, that it can only be speculated upon and never experienced directly. The knowledge of such thinkers may help them dispel certain doubts, misconceptions about the lesser aspects of reality, but it is useless for transcending material illusion and approaching the absolute truth. As a general rule, only the devotees who faithfully render loving service under the Supreme Lord up to the point of complete purification receive his grace in the form of aparoksha jnana, direct realization of his greatness and wonderful compassion. The personality of Godhead is, of course, free to award his mercy even to the undeserving, as he does when he personally kills offensive demons. But he is much less inclined to bless Mayavadis and other atheistic philosophers. One should not think, however, that the devotees of Vishnu are ignorant because they may not be expert in philosophic analysis and argument. The soul's perfect realization is to be gained not through his own efforts at mental speculation, but by receiving the Lord's favor. Thus we hear from the Vedic authority, Katha Upanishad 2.2.23 and Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. Nayam atma pravachane nalabhyo namedhaya na bhuna shutenam yam evaisha shritnutitena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivinutitanum swam. This Supreme Self cannot be reached by argumentation or by applying one's independent brain power or by studying many scriptures. Rather, he alone can achieve the Self whom the Self chooses to favor. To that person, the Self reveals his own true personal form. Elsewhere, the Shruti describes a devotee's success. Dehante deva parama brahma tarakam yachaste. At the end of this body's life, this sanctified soul perceives the Supreme Lord just as clearly as if seeing the stars in the sky. And in the last statement, the Svetavatara Upanishad 6.23 offers this encouragement to aspiring Vaishnavas. Yasya deve parabhakti yata deva tatagaro tashaiti katitaya artha pakashanti mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami cites another verse of Sri Svetashvatara Upanishad 4.7.8 and 4.13. Jistam yada pashati anyam isham asya mahimanam iti vittishoka uchokshare pare vyoman yasmin devadi vishvene shidu yastam veda kim vicha karshyati ya itta vidusta ime samaste. The Supreme Lord is he who is referred to by the mantra of the Rig Veda, who resides in the topmost eternal sky and who elevates his saintly devotees to share that same position. One who has developed pure love for him and realizes his uniqueness then appreciates his glories and is freed from sorrow. What further good can the Rig mantras bestow on one who knows that that Supreme Lord? All who come to know him achieve the supreme destination. Yo vedanam adipo yasnyaloka adrishritaha ya ishosha dvipadas chatuspadas tasmai devai habisha vedhima. To him who is the master of all Vedas, in whom all planets rest, who is the Lord of all known creatures, both the two-legged and the four-legged, to him, the personality of Godhead, we offer worship with oblations of ghee. Referring to those who desire liberation, Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Tapantu tape patatantu parvatad atantu tritani patantu chagamang yajantu yagar vibhadantu vadar harim vina naiva mitim taranti. Let them suffer austerities, throw themselves from mountaintops, travel to holy places, study the scriptures, worship with fire sacrifices, and argue various philosophies. But without Lord Hari, they will never cross beyond death. That's a nice one. Actually, all these are wonderful quotes that make the aspiring bhakta feel very comfortable taking part in this very simple process of hearing and chanting and taking nice prasadam, enjoying the association of devotees. Here it's described that just this attachment, somehow or other becoming attached to Krishna, that we feel protected by Krishna, and therefore that fear of death goes away. Because Krishna promises many times to protect his devotee. In other words, he actually favors the devotee. When you think of favorite, you think favorite, yes. Somehow or other, devotees become a favorite of Krishna. Just like when you go to a party, you get a favor. They give you everybody gets a favor to take home. Because that person is appreciating all his guests, and therefore he wants to give something. And so, but the devotee, he really appreciates Krishna, as we hear so many times in this purport, that that appreciation of Krishna wins the favor of the Lord's heart. But then you think, oh, well, in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, Krishna says that I'm equal to everyone, I'm not partial to anybody, that I'm a friend to everyone. So he's saying that he's equal to everybody and he's not partial, but then he says that, but when whoever renders service to, unto me with loving devotion, then it's a very special situation that I am in their heart and they're in my heart. So at the same time, he says he's equal, but it's natural, Prabhupada says, to be partial. If Prabhupada gives that example, if the house is on fire, you're going to want to save your children first because they're very dear to you. Of course, this is describing that this favor is to the qualified devotees, those devotees that have completely surrendered and are fully attached to Supreme Lord. It's not just a show. And because that heart is really sold out to Krishna. Therefore, he has that natural sentiment, that natural attachment to save his devotee. I don't know if you've ever seen those things come up and they say these got talent things that come up, you know, got talent in all these different countries, and the person goes there and tries to show how great they are at something. And many times they ask, well, what's your story? You know, some strange person is up there and they go, well, actually, I do have a story that I was rejected by this and I was thrown in the garbage can. Someone found me and I made my way and now I'm here on your talent show. And then they perform and all the judges' hearts kind of like melt and they start crying and they say, oh, and they all, you know, standing ovations. And it's because they feel that special attachment to someone who has given so much. And so Krishna also has that special attachment naturally because the devotee is giving so much. Not just giving like this last thing, not just, you know, jumping from mountaintops and studying and all these different things, but because the devotee has given their life and their soul and their words and their deed and everything to the Supreme Lord. And that's what really matters. So how does one get those qualities? Well, the intelligent devotee will see that I actually have no qualifications, but it's because of the grace of my spiritual master that I get any qualification to win the favor of the Supreme Lord. What do I know what Krishna wants? I'm just a spiritual baby infant. I don't know anything. But my spiritual master gives me that guidance. Prabhupada actually gives that same example for this. He says that if there's some kind of you all of a sudden have this law case against you, some big lawsuit, then you're thinking, oh, how am I going to get out of this? Maybe I should look through the books and find a particular, you know, what do you call them? A verse, not, I'm going to think of a verse, something in the books that I can find that will get me out of this situation. So how many books are there in the law court? Shesha Prabhu, how many? How many laws are there? Billions, right? And so it would be fruitless to try to find out what would apply to my situation. So what do? You hire a lawyer. And immediately that lawyer goes, oh, well, right here, right in this situation, this is what will, this law in particular will help you. So in the same way, we don't know exactly what Krishna wants with us, and how to please Krishna. So therefore, we surrender to the spiritual master, and he knows exactly the best thing for us because he's directly connected to Krishna. So the best thing is to take shelter of the spiritual master, and if he says this engagement is proper, then we should set our life's goal as to those instructions. There are other processes, as we see here, all these ones that are mentioned in the beginning that the personified Vedas have been commenting on for the last week or so. But they all fall short. They all fall short of the reaching that absolute truth, of actually reaching, getting that favor of Krishna and getting to see him face to face and passing over this fear of death. So that understanding is there in bhakti, because we understand how to relate to Krishna. How does the soul really integrate with Krishna and giving him pleasure? And this is the art of bhakti that we should be learning from the spiritual master. There's a nice story that was told. I remember one of the first stories I heard when I came to Krishna consciousness. It was, I believe it was Narada Muni who was called by Krishna and said that, you know, I've got this headache, and that the only thing that will relieve my headache is the dust of my devotees, of my pure devotees. Please go and get that so I can be relieved of this headache. And so he goes and he visits the Brahmins doing sacrifices and so many different personalities. You can see as in this purport, so many different processes, different people working through the Vedas, trying to achieve the absolute for their liberation, for so many different things. And Narada Muni couldn't get any of them to give the dust. They were too concerned what would happen. Oh, what if I do this? I will be condemned to this, or I won't. It's too much of an obstacle in my path. So many different things. And then he goes to the gopis, and the gopis immediately say, sure, anything. Oh, Narada goes, but you know, this could, you know, this could give you some, you know, offense to Krishna. No problem. Krishna has a headache. Anything, whatever. And so this is the real qualification of receiving the favor of Krishna, of that unalloyed love, the selfless love, not worrying about that you're going to miss out even on your goal of achieving that highest relationship of yourself and Krishna. So only Krishna's pleasure. This is the life soul of the pure devotee. And so the other candidates are pretty much canceled here. They're going to miss out on the goal and not get the ultimate destination ultimately. And most likely they're going to be fearful at the time of death because the destination is unknown. And that happens for everyone. Death is a big blank, what's going to happen next. But we also remember that I think it was also described that for the pure devotee, death happens so quickly, just like thunder and lightning is described, that they don't, the pure devotee doesn't even realize he's left his body because he's so immersed in thinking and remembering the Supreme Lord, being with the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he protected us in the very beginning from these different flowery words, I guess you could say, these different aspects of the Vedas that are very alluring but very confusing to the neophyte devotee. So he, although we didn't really know anything about the Vedas. I never even heard the word Veda before. I never heard the name Krishna before. So we were very new. Probably none of us have ever heard of these Veda, Saguna, Vata, Vipana Veda, all these different types of impersonalists and Mayavadis and different conceptions of the philosophies that are in the Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada, he did touch on them even in the beginning, so that we would be very cautious in our future devotional life, because there is potential to become waylaid on your search for the absolute truth by merging yourself in all these different philosophies and enjoying the speculations and the different aspects of them. And ultimately, it can be very detrimental to your spiritual advancement if not understanding the ultimate goal. I remember that, I think I was 1975, I went to the Mayapur Festival, and we went down to the Yoga Pit, and they have a library there. We, you know, saw the deities, and then we were let loose, and everybody just immediately went over to the book tables and just were like tantalized. It was like the devotees going into a 100-flavor ice cream shop. And they were just like, wow, look at this book, and Bhakti Node, and Bhakti Siddhanta, and this and that, and astrology, and all this. And it was, it was just tempting. And many people came back with many books. And then Srila Prabhupada was a little upset hearing about this. We warned us again, you know, that I'm giving you everything you need to know, you know. You're not quite ready. He did give permission. Some of the servants asked if they could get some Sanskrit text for this or that, and I think he sieved through it and allowed some of them. But he warned us. He warned us, and that warning is still there. Unless one is authorized to venture into different Vedas with great scrutiny, then they should not go in that direction. Prabhupada has given us everything, and we have a lifetime of study of these books, absolute lifetime. I mean, just to get to this page in the Bhagavatam, I've been at this temple almost 20 years, you know, it's taken that long. So what less, you know, it'll be probably forgotten in my head tomorrow, and I have to wait another 20 years to hear it again. Kali Yuga at least 3 times, what less, the Bhagavatam, hundreds of times we should be hearing this. So it's not like we have time to go off and study all these other philosophies, which are short of the mood that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada was in the mood of a Vaishnav Sangha, of working together, helping each other advance together, and also in training. Lord Chaitanya also stressed this. He was always training the devotees, but always with the devotees. Engaging with them and enjoying camaraderie and making it a joyful process, and developing relationships with the devotees guiding everyone forward in devotional life. So this is more of the mood that Srila Prabhupada set and that we should keep within our ISKCON movement. Also, Prabhupada requires that we have some training in this art of devotion, of how to actually become qualified so that we can win that favor. And so what are those qualifications? In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, there's a series of verses of how to become dear to Krishna. But before he says how to become dear to Krishna, he actually, in a couple of verses, he says that eliminates the other paths. He says that if you do these other paths of impersonalism and voidism and things like that, he says, it's going to be slow. It's going to be a very, very slow process. Best not to go there. And so he gives those qualifications that we need to work on, that I know I need to work on. And that's to be completely fixed in mind in our meditation on the Supreme Lord, and to worship with all of our faith, as is discussed here in this purport, and to be non-envious, equal to all, and to be satisfied with this devotional service, and free from the contaminated association. to be self-controlled and not disturbed by anything. So we've all kind of signed up for this training program. That's why we're all sitting here in Bhagavatam class. And we've volunteered to do service. We have, some of us have our names on the board back there and maybe on the list to go to Clearwater and preach or to do this, that service or that, or to sign up to do the deity's garlands. So many different services. We want to be trained. And it's interesting that other churches and things like that, they're also trying to encourage people to take up devotional service. Last Sunday, I took my mother to church, and it was interesting. They have a whole series on how to say yes. How to say yes to doing some kind of a service within the church. It was like, it's just like, you know, the same thing that we do here, you know, please come and do some service, come do some service. And they actually had a verse from some saint that gave the body part strike. I thought, wait a second, that's our thing. But it was a little different. It actually said that the saint was talking to his different senses and saying that the foot wasn't satisfied, wanted to be an eye, and this sense wasn't satisfied, it wanted to be something else, and then they all kind of went on strike or something. But it ended up that whatever service you do, that was the point, whatever service you do, that is training. He actually explained it. It is training for your soul that you need to actually do some service to help purify and to help become more attached to the goal. Which is kind of vague for them. But for us, we know exactly. Here is definitely clear to get that favor of Krishna, to be able to go back to Krishna. So we're attempting to do services of all different kinds. Everyone is happy in their service and always trying to increase in their service. Grinding chandan for the next few months, adding that to your schedule. But it's kind of like playing house. I'm sure Krishna's seen it as we're just pretending to cook for Krishna. We're getting, this is training. We're practicing and pretending to make garlands and to dress the deities. It's because we're not fully Krishna conscious yet. At least I'm not. But we accept that training, and we see that as we do that, as we become more purified, that interaction will actually wake up our senses. So that we will see Krishna ultimately. It's just now coming. That change of the heart, that real love like the gopis had, wanting to give the dust to their feet no matter what. That love is just now coming. So we just have to stick to the process. And because Krishna's in the heart, every once in a while he feels the little tremors that we have, that when we do feel that pleasure of just doing some simple service for Krishna, it's fine. It's just what I want. Just getting to do this one thing for Krishna. So that little tremor Krishna feels. And then later on, as we become more purified, he's waiting for those big earthquakes, the big Riker scare going up to 7.8 or whatever, of that intense love for Krishna within our hearts. And then at that point, there will be no fear. Will be totally qualified to have that pure love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, when he was on the planet, he'd exhibited that highest intense love. He was shivering, he would fall on the ground, actually show us what it really meant to be completely absorbed in Krishna. He was the real McCoy. And Srila Prabhupada, he came in and he offered us that same thing, that same intense love, and we can all have it. Prabhupada's sharing it with us, so we should take some attempt to be trained and to make sure that Krishna is in the center of our life and in everything we do. But Prabhupada, when he came here and offered that, he could see that we're not of the greatest qualification by any means, and he liked it to washing coal. Actually, I've seen people wash coal in India, I remember a fire hydrant, some people were washing coal. I couldn't get that. But anyway, and I was thinking, yes, that's Prabhupada. He's trying to make us pure so that we become qualified. And then he actually commented that maybe the third generation, maybe they'll get it. So our endeavor right now is for that third generation. I think we see the results coming out very nicely. I didn't get to see the play, but I heard that everything, that their endeavors are very much appreciated to spread Krishna consciousness. And to make it a very joyful process. That's one thing. This is, bhakti gets 5 stars. Out of all these other processes, it's a 5-star winner because it's joyful. We don't have to jump off mountaintops and do all these, you know, sit in the rings of fire. We just have to stick to the process and enjoy our association and the wonderful process of hearing and chanting. And that holy name is the most important and should be the center of our lives because that is our direct connection to Krishna all the time. So that when we are doing these services, if we add the holy name, then the bhakti comes. And then the bhakti can flow because we won't forget Krishna. So Prabhupada's always stressed to always 24 hours chant the holy name. It's like when you go online and you see you're trying to order something and it says, or you're trying to figure something out and says, there's somebody online, you can chat with them right now, right? And sometimes they say they're offline, but Krishna's always online. You can, when you, the minute you say his name, he is there, 24 hour online, and we can have that direct communication with him. And that is our meditation. That is our super soul meditation, is that by chanting, I'll never forget Krishna. So this is our progress that we can hope for, as it says here, hopeful expectations that our hearts will get cleansed, if not in this lifetime, in very, very soon in future lifetimes, that we'll be able to relish this association with Krishna, become favored by him, and ultimately step on death, step on the head of death, and not even fear it. So maybe someone else has some comments or some questions. John Mastini, Prabhu.
There's one conversation that took place between Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This was during the startup of Juhu. It was very, very intense. And Prabhupada relied very heavily on Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj exclaimed, Srila Prabhupada, how can I think of Krishna? My mind is simply filled with temple finances. And then Prabhupada responded, a very meaningful response. He said, yes, so many lifetimes we've wasted on ourselves. If just this one lifetime, we dedicate ourselves, heart and soul, to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then at the end, even if we're not completely perfect, Lord Chaitanya himself will personally come and take us back to Godhead. And I saw this take place with my good friend Nirguna Prabhu. He was a very, very enthusiastic book distributor and preacher and just really worked hard for Prabhupada's mission. He wasn't recognized as being some big, big devotee. He was just a simple servant. But I saw, you know, the last few weeks of his life, he left his body in Mayapur. We arranged a whole marathon for his departure. But he just came to higher and higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. And at the end, it was just miraculous, you know, and there was no question in anyone's mind when he left his body that he went back to Godhead. It was just so powerful. I won't go into the details. It's kind of a long discussion, but it seems that that's an important part of the mercy that we require. Because, it's, you know, we can see, you know, most of the devotees in the room have been at the process, taking the process up for many, many years, you know, and we can see that we're gradually improving, but it's just like a, what I saw was kind of like a rocket ship of improvement at the end, and it was clearly Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada's mercy that just intervened. And I mentioned this to Giriraj Swami at one point, and he said that it's not just Nirguna, but this has been the experience of many devotees, many senior devotees, when they leave their bodies, that they just get incredible mercy. So this is a promise that Prabhupada made to us. And as we know, Krishna always fulfills the promise of his devotees. So that's something that we can count on, you know, as long as we, the big factor is just dedicating our lives to pushing on Lord Chaitanya's movement.
I knew Nirguna. He was totally dedicated to going to these campsites in North Carolina. And that was his life, just figuring out how to spread Krishna consciousness. I went up there actually right before he left for India, and he was still thinking about how we could go to colleges and do this and that and spread Krishna consciousness. He's encouraged me to do that. And he definitely deserved the favor that he got. He was very dear to Lord Chaitanya.
So.
Yeah, this process works. So we can feel very, but this is a safe place. We should put a sign like they do on places. This is a safe place. You can come here and know that you're going to step over death and achieve perfection in this lifetime. One more. Govinda.
Challenging is okay, that's very nice inspiration, but is the reality is like that or not? I mean, it's a good inspiration, just spread the Krishna consciousness and you'll get the ultimate goal. So there is a, because I had the same doubt, and it's in Madhulila chapter 7, one verse that that Prabhupada quote the most, Jare Dekho Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh, and the verse right after that, is the guarantee Lord Chaitanya himself said, Kabuna Vadibe Tumai Vishay Taranga Punarapi Yaitai Pavimo Sangha. If you keep on going, practicing and preaching, you will attain me. In case somebody wants a quote, that is it only sentiment or is it reality? It is reality.
We have so many quotes here.
Yeah.
So many quotes that are saying that without Hari, you're not going to cross, but just add that one in front of all the zeros, add Krishna, and you will obtain it. So we have to have that faith. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.